Good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you. Now, continuing our study of Psalm 2, but I want to read some verses from the book of Revelation, the chapter 11. First of all, I might say that we sang some verses from Psalm 83, and there, in the verses that we sang, you see the prayer, particularly the prayer that will be offered by Israel in the days of trouble that we're talking about in Psalm 2. So as I said on Tuesday, the Lord has ever been making his people aware of what lay ahead, so that in the Psalm 83, they even have the words that they will pray one day to God when the attack of the enemy is centered upon Jerusalem and upon the Jewish nation. We sang there in Psalm 83 how that the objective of the enemy was to wipe out Israel. Wipe them out, destroy them. Now, that has been the plan of the enemy for a long time, the devil's plan. I was reading just this morning in the book of Esther of the plan of wicked Haman to wipe out the Jews. I'm sure you know the story of Esther and how God intervened and delivered the Jewish people under the leadership of Mordecai. And in more recent times, it was the plan of Hitler. And at this time of the year, the Holocaust, the awful campaign to slaughter the Jews by Hitler, is remembered. And 6 million of the Jews were killed by Hitler. Just you think of that. That's more than 3 times the number of people that live in Northern Ireland. It's more than the population of the whole of this island. That's the number of people, Jewish people, that Hitler wiped out. The ongoing hatred of the Jewish people, and there will come another purge, another attempt to destroy them in the future, at the close of this age. Now let's read just a few verses from Revelation chapter 11, if you have it. We're going to start reading, please, at the verse 3 of chapter 11. Now we're talking about Jerusalem, as we will see here. And God says, "And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses. So there will be 2 prophets will appear in Jerusalem at the end of this age. That's one of the signs that you will be able to observe. When 2 men, and there will be plenty of reports in the news about them, 2 men serving God, speaking out against the wickedness of Antichrist, will be raised up in Jerusalem, and they'll do miracles that will certainly get the headlines." Let's read on then. "I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many weeks or months that amounts to, but it's 3.5 years. And you ought to know that that's a period of time mentioned time and time and time and time, time again in the Bible. And it's the last 3.5 years. So, although we don't know today when the Lord Jesus is going to come again, we don't know today. But when we notice these 2 men beginning to preach in Jerusalem, we know that they're going to preach for 3.5 years. And then the Lord will come. So, you see, although we don't know now when the Lord will come, what year, what month, what day, anything like that, when it gets close to the time, we will begin to know when the Lord is coming. So, these men, they're going to preach for 3.5 years. Verse 3, "These are the 2 olive branches and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." That's a reference to an earlier prophecy in the Old Testament regarding them. "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Now, I don't think that you have there a picture of a dragon, fire out of their mouth. But what I believe is that they will speak words and command fire, and the fire of God will fall on them, just like Elijah. That's what Elijah did. And you can read about that in the second book of Kings, chapter 1. So that when something like that happens, it'll get the headlines, so every believer in the world will hear about it. And they'll be able to say, soon the Lord will be here. And that will brighten their day and lift up their hearts. Verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. These men are like Moses and like Elijah, if they are not indeed these two men. But they certainly have the same power that was exercised by these two men. And I'm telling you, it'll be the headline news. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, that's the Antichrist, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. He has always wanted to do that, but he hasn't been able to do it, because God hasn't allowed him to do it until these men finish their preaching, finish the work God has given them. Then God lifts his restraining hand from the Antichrist, and he's allowed to kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now you know where that was, Jerusalem. So that this whole period and these tremendous miracles will all take place in Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Just let them lie in the street like so much rubbish. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and shall make merry, celebrate their death, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, don't you think that'll make the headlines? Resurrection of two men that had been lying in the street dead for 3.5 days. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. That is, the two men are called up to heaven. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Again, going to be seen? Dare I suggest that it might even be on television? Maybe when they're resurrected, a television crew is sent for? The way it is today, as you know, as soon as something exciting happens, people just pull out their iPhone and start filming. And those videos appear on the news. Well, it'll be like that when this happens. So the world will know. The world will know. And not only will they know, but they will see that what God said in his word is coming to pass. So they're taken up to heaven. And everybody saw them, it says, verse 12. Then 13 in the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. These wicked people recognize this is God. This is God who's done this. They've been living to deny him and blaspheme him and say all evil things about God. But when this happens, they recognize this as God. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, blew his trumpet. And that is the signal for the return of Christ. So you see, and you can read these verses yourself over and over and over till you've taken in everything that's said. When the time comes, there'll be no doubts about what is happening and how close the return of Christ is. Now we're turning to the psalm that we've been studying, because that was just a wee Bible reading to point out to you just what will happen at the end, because that's what the psalm 2 is dealing with. Now men have always raged against the Lord and plotted against the Lord, but that plotting is going to reach its height and its final manifestation just before the Lord returns. We're aware, and you're aware to some degree, of the IRA terrorism that has taken place in this country. Now, that terrorism has been going on for centuries. Our forefathers suffered terribly at the hands of Republican terrorists in 1641. That's a good while ago, isn't it? There was an uprising. And our Protestant forefathers were targeted. And tens of thousands of them were slaughtered. Not only is it in the history book written by men, but in the library of Trinity College in Dublin is a whole collection of statements gathered at the time by a government inquiry. And people came to that inquiry and they told what happened to them, what happened to their neighbours, what happened in their area, which they witnessed. And it's all written down. Names, everything. And nobody has ever challenged it. Nobody has ever said, oh, it never happened. No. It's on record. That was 1641 and thereabout. And it's come on again and again and again. You had something similar in 1798. And there were many other instances. Back in the early 1900s, in the 1920s, during World War II, there were some incidents. Then in 1956, there was an IRA campaign. Police were killed. An attack on Brookborough Police Barracks, upon Ross Lay Police Barracks. And then, of course, in 1968, there began almost a 40-year campaign of terror. So you can see that this has been ongoing. And so it is with that which is mentioned in Psalm 2. The opposition to the Jews, the hatred of the Jews. It's been ongoing. And it will reach its climax, its finality. It will come to the full harvest in the days just before the Lord returns. In fact, the Lord will return to put an end to it once and for all. Sin cannot go on forever, boys and girls. Sin cannot go on forever. And we ought all to take note of that. We can't sin against the Lord thinking there'll never be any judgment. That is not the case. The Lord might patiently endure man's rebellion, but in the end, he will deal with it. And he will deal with it, even as we will come to study in this Psalm 2. Now, we're moving on a little bit. We're still at the verses 1 to 3. We're looking today at just who it is will take part in that rebellion. What does it say? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. So there are names there that indicate who's involved in this rebellion. God knows. God knows who his enemies are. At this very moment, you may know that there's a whole rising controversy and alarming situation taking place on the borders of Russia. And Russia has assembled a great army on the borders of Ukraine. And let me tell you, the Americans and the British and others have been flying planes over, taking pictures. What's going on? They've used satellites to take pictures. What are the Russians doing? They want to know. But they can only guess. They take pictures and really, they're not that clear. And they see great formations of tanks and armoured vehicles and they say, well, what are they going to do with those and so forth? The knowledge that they gain is somewhat limited. But God knows exactly what the enemy's going to do. He knows what the enemy's thinking. God knows everything. And so here God identifies for us those that are involved in this rebellion. First of all, he mentions the heathen. Now, this is a term that refers to the Gentile nations. You know what a Gentile is? A Gentile is someone who is not a Jew. So everybody in the world is a Gentile except the Jew. There's only the two divisions in the world. The Jew and then all the Gentile nations. And the term heathen is a term that just means Gentiles. Non-Jewish nations. They're going to be involved in this, you see, because the target is the Jew. And the Gentile nations, particularly those around Israel, are going to target Israel. Without going into too many details, Antichrist will rule over 10 kingdoms, covering the territory that was once covered by the Roman Empire. And that means England and Wales. Scotland wasn't, Ireland wasn't, but England and Wales was. So that in this rebellion, isn't it alarming to think that there will be those from England and Wales involved in this attack upon the Jews? All nations, I feel, will have sympathy. All Gentile nations will have sympathy with what's going on. They might even send support. The whole world will at least have sympathy with this attack upon the Jews. When Hitler was attacking the Jews in the Second World War, there were plenty of Frenchmen, plenty of Belgian men, plenty of Danish men, plenty of Spanish men, plenty of Americans. Ah, even some English. Indeed, there probably wasn't a nation on the face of the earth that there were not people in it that said, Hitler's doing the right thing. He's right to kill them. But certainly that will be the case when the time of this rebellion comes round. Then, it not only mentions the Gentiles, but it talks about the people. It starts off with the people, verse 1. The people imagine a vain thing. And that's usually, again, a reference to the Gentile nations, but I think we may see that it will include some Jews as well. There are texts in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, in which Jewish people in Jerusalem are referred to as people, people. And there will be renegade Jews who will side with Antichrist and who will be ready, like Judas, to attack even their own people and see a wiping out of everyone that has any sympathy or faith in or love for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only a remnant, small number of Jews that will remain faithful to what the Bible says. And that's why I read from Revelation 11, for there you see in Jerusalem the sympathy that Antichrist has and the opposition there is against God's true servants. But there will be those Jewish people who will, by the grace of God, be faithful to the Lord. I read this morning about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross, and how that there came to the cross a man who had up until that time been a secret disciple, and he identified himself with the Lord Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus also joined with him, and together they buried the body of the Lord Jesus, so that even in the midst of all that had happened, there were these two faithful men. And it's a picture of what it will be like at the end, when there's an attack upon the name of the Lord and the people of God. There will be faithful ones who will stand with the Savior in that time. And although there will be many Jews that will actually stand with Antichrist and oppose those Jews who love the Lord, still the Lord will preserve his own. The kings of the earth, it says. Now the king holds the highest office that's known to man. There's no higher office in the world amongst men than that of a king. There are many offices, you know that. There's the judge, there's the policeman, there's princes. But the king, he's right up there at the top. And that reminds us that the very top men in the world are going to be associated with this rebellion. So many people think, oh, if the king says it or the queen says it, well, it's bound to be right. Well, there's going to be kings say something here, and it will be anything but right. It will be very, very wrong. Kings of the earth, it says. Kings set themselves against the Lord. Speak out against the cause of God and the truth of God. And many people will be impressed by that. But boys and girls, it's not what men say is authoritative and law. It's what God says. And even if we have kings saying the opposite, we don't listen to the kings. We go against them. We reject them. And we go with God. I love the story of Hugh Latimer, the English reformer, who was called upon on one occasion to preach before King Henry. And he preached very plainly. And they set out the sins that were taking place in the land and the sins of the king. And he annoyed the king. And when he had finished, King Henry sent him a message. You be back tomorrow and you preach again, and you better say the opposite to what you've said now. So the next day, Hugh Latimer turned up. And he stood up on the pulpit and he opened his Bible. And before he started to preach, he said, "Latimer, remember who it is you're preaching to. He's the king, and he has authority among men to take you and cut your head off. So you bear that in mind when you're preaching. But Latimer, remember also, there is a God in heaven who can not only slay the body, but he can damn your soul in hell forever. You remember him." And then old Latimer began to preach. And I'll put it in common terms that you'll understand. He cut the socks of the old king again, only far worse than he had the day before. King Henry said after the second sermon, "That's a loyal man. That's a faithful, honest man." Or words to that effect. "I would that I had more like him." Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, there's times when we have to go against the king and tell them, "You're wrong. God's word says." Rulers are mentioned as well. Those are those who hold office below the level of the king. The princes and the lords and the noblemen, as it were. Well, they're all involved. The whole of society is involved in this rebellion against the Lord. They're all held in check today. No, we see the wickedness of kings. We see any amount of evidence of the wickedness of the rulers of our land, both here in Northern Ireland and across the water in London. We see the wickedness of them and their lies as they try to cover it up. But their wickedness is held in check by God. They'd like to go far further, but God holds them in check. But there's a day coming when God will let them loose, as it were. And men will go forward in their rebellion until we have taken place that which is set forth here in Psalm 2. They will say, "Let us break all of God's laws and defy him and cast him off his throne." This rebellion then is going to touch everyone. And since, from what we read here, everyone's involved, Christians will not be able to avoid being caught up in this whole rebellion. I don't mean caught up to be involved in it, but it'll be taking place all around them. And if they're not careful, they will be caught up in it. They will be carried away. They will listen to all the arguments as to why God should be defied. And if they're not careful, you get carried away with those arguments. But God will keep his people. We're not of the world. That's what the Lord Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer. "These people of mine," he says, "are not of the world, but they need to be kept by you, Father, while they're in the world." And that's right. We have a wonderful example of it today. Out there is a plague, COVID. There's nobody is going to escape it except those who take care to avoid coming in contact with those who are infected. And it'll be like that. There'll be a plague coming on the world that will grow and grow and grow. Rebellion against God, and we must take care that we don't take part in it or be affected by it. James chapter 1 verse 27 says, "What is a Christian?" A Christian is someone who keeps themselves unspotted from the world. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who keeps themselves away from the world and its actions and its thoughts and its words. They keep themselves clean from the sin of the world. There are some verses in Isaiah, and I think I'll just take the time to read them to you. Isaiah chapter 26. We preached upon it some time ago here in Kilskerry, not that long ago, I suppose. Isaiah, and the chapter 26, at the end of the chapter, we have two verses, 20 and 21. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her sin." Those words refer to the very events that we're talking about here. God's going to come forth and deal with all those who are in rebellion. And in that time where to withdraw, seek shelter. I was looking at a wee news item yesterday where the people that are facing the threat of the Russian invasion are preparing themselves air raid shelters, so that when the sound of the siren goes up that there's an attack taking place, they know where to run and hide. Well, God's giving us directions here as to where we hide and how we hide. We withdraw ourselves. But what I want you to notice is that in those two verses, there's a little phrase, and the phrase is for a little moment until the indignation be overpowered. It's not going to last long. During the Second World War, air raids in London might last all night. Poor folk couldn't sleep or anything else, and there they were huddled in air raid shelters and down in the underground stations. Children and everything were there all night when the Germans rained down bombs upon them. But God says the attack will only be for a little moment. It'll come to an end. Oh, how good it is to have assurances like this that God's on the throne and the enemy will not be allowed to do just what he likes as long as he likes. In Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus said that with all the trouble, the elect could even be carried away. True believers could be carried away, but God will see to it that the days will be shortened. It'll only be a short time that the enemy will be allowed to act in this defiant fashion. Boys and girls, our God has everything under control. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. He sees what you're at and what I'm at. He sees our needs. He has all things under control. May he bless his word to your hearts today. Let's quickly pray. Lord, bless the boys and the girls. Long that they might understand the great sovereignty of God and how he has organized all things for the good of his people and for the utter destruction of all who are his enemies. Bless the school. Bless the school and undertake for it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.